listening to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Welcome to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail, the weekly radio talk show where we unwrap and reveal the secrets that successful people use, and you can too. Available at successunwrappedradio.com. My special guest this week is John Benson, a transformation life coach, best-selling co-author of Fit Over 40, the number two fitness ebook in the world, and creator of the total transformational system M-Power. The M stands for mind, meals, muscle, and motion. Clinically obese a few years ago and now over 40 with a bodybuilder physique, John is living proof of his methods. And it's not what you might expect. His teachings include NLP and law of attraction principles that can be used to improve any area of your life. John, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Heather. Good to be here.
Your life has changed a lot in the last several years. What was it that prompted you to get started on this journey of transformation?
Well, to be honest with you, pain. It's a great motivator. At this time it was psychological pain. I'd gone through years of obesity and chronic ill health and things of that nature, and having been trained in nutrition and an athlete all my life, it was just something that I knew that was somewhat of an addictive turn. In other words, I was becoming a workaholic, and I was using food as a crutch, as an addiction, and diet sodas and all kinds of stuff. And eventually all this caught up to me in kind of a vicious way. I mean, other than my body rebelling on me, I started having panic disorder. And the first panic attack I had was on an airplane. Thank God it was pre-9/11. I didn't know what it was. And, you know, I'd never even heard of panic disorder. And I had bolted for the door of the plane. And, you know, people are dragging me down. And it was wild. And so they thought, oh, there's this big guy heading for the door of the plane. You know, what on earth? And so it was a horrific experience. And I spent 4 hours in living hell on that airplane flight. And landed and thought, okay, now I'm fine. I thought that was really weird. Maybe it was some sort of a flight deal, dehydration, didn't know what it was. And then the second one occurred, and that's what changed my life. I was at 118 feet of water, and I'm a scuba diver, a dive master, and I was dive mastering a dive. And dive I dove, you know, 100 times before, and at a very dangerous depth, I had a panic attack. And that was it. I just swore if I ever got to the surface, that would be it, you know, that my life would totally change. So, and it did. And I'm lucky to have made it to the surface alive, because most people in that situation probably would have panicked and damaged or killed themselves. So I'm very fortunate. And got to the surface. I got back to Dallas, where I live, and said, dusted off all my old books and said, okay, what am I missing here? And what have I just forgotten? And I use this phrase a lot. I've forgotten inconvenience of busyness. So I let the convenience of being busy suppress what I know about attraction, about life, about fitness, about energy, about everything. And it's a loop that we get into, a lot of us do. We let the busyness of life just conveniently get in the place of everything else. So that was what really turned me around, Heather.
But how exactly did that cause these panic attacks?
How poor nutrition. Panic disorder is a very complex thing, and there's a lot of things that can contribute to it that from a nutrition point of view. Adrenal fatigue is one of them. You start getting adrenal fatigue, it could lead to panic disorder. But the combination of adrenal fatigue through, you know, just hours and hours of unrelenting stress, combined with the fact that my serotonin levels were completely out of whack, a hormone in the brain, neurotransmitter, that's your happy hormone, so to say. And the neurotransmitters in the brain were just not firing off properly. Sugar drives serotonin way up, and which makes you happy, and then it plummets way down, very similar to how blood sugar acts. And unfortunately, eventually the cycle gets broken. And instead of going up, it just kind of skirts up a little bit and shoots right back down. And so you become depressed. So those things can lead to depression, often leads to panic disorder. So putting all that together is what, just triggered it all for me.
How long did it take you to go from obese back to being incredibly fit?
Well, I was never in the shape that you see me in on Fit Over 40 ever. I mean, that was the best shape I've ever been in. But to go from obesity to 10% body fat, which I maintained for about 6 years before I even tried to, you know, do something more radical, only took about 9 months. And I knew primarily, I knew that I could do it faster than what most people may think is possible. only because I'd been a bodybuilder in college, and while I was never in that good of shape, I knew pretty much how to do it. And I was a nutritionist, so I knew technically how to do it. And so I had a little bit of some advantages there. But the real solid transformation, meaning that I got my body weight down to that point, but to maintain it and to get really comfortable with it, took about a year, year and a half to really get comfortable with the lifestyle. And after that, it was second nature.
So M-Power is a total transformational system, but it seems focused mainly on the physical. How does the first M, the mind part, fit in?
Well, this is the big thing that's missing, in my opinion, in almost every diet, nutrition, fitness book ever written. I mean, people will talk a little bit about, you know, mindset, and usually in the sense of visualization, or you have to change bad habits, but they don't really go into the fact that we are our thoughts. We are what we attract into our reality becomes our reality. And unless you start from that point, you're going to spin yourself in circles, and at least for most people. Now, there are people who are very fortunate, and they get off on structure, and they really do really well with it. And so if somebody gives them a fill-in-the-blank diet plan, and they go, oh, I just love it, and they stick to it, and that's great. But in order for this to really seep into every area of your life, in my approach, in my opinion, we start with the mind, and we link your core values to the deepest goals that you, in other words, the deepest things that you have, to the goals that you have physically, or the goals that you have financially. It doesn't really matter, but in this case, it's physical. And once you do that, you start developing what we call core attractions. So we're attracting from our core rather than from what our brain tells us that we want. As you know, I mean, you can be walking down the street and your brain says, oh, I want that, you know, hot fudge sundae. Oh, I want that dress. And you really don't. You know, it's just a transient feeling. And when you're working from the core, it's a lot different from the core of who you are, your inner being, the things that you would live and die for. You can more easily make those distinctions and more rapidly. And once you do that, once you've linked it to that, the changes happen more rapidly, too. That's why it starts with the mind. Because the changes start coming from a position of, rather than I have to do something, or I really should do something, or my doctor wants me to do something, to a position of, if I don't do this, look what's going to happen to my family. And I want my family to be happy. And I want my relationship with my creator to be solid. I want to have energy so I can live for my kids. And you know, you start building this huge list of reasons why you should propel you. And it stops becoming something that you talk yourself into, and something that literally propels you. It's a big difference. So that's why we start with the mind.
So how do we find out what our core values are?
Well, that's a good question. Most everybody has similar core values on some level, like freedom, love, family, just about everybody. And when we're talking about everybody, that's sane. Okay? There's definitely some insane people out there that do not have those core values. But for more specific core values, there's a list of about 50. And in the 10 years or so that I've done this, I've never seen the list get that much larger. So it's not like there's a massive list of core values out there. And a lot of times when people will say, well, I have this unique core value of, you know, they'll list off something specific, and then we'll help them narrow it down to really what it is. Well, that's really an offshoot of this. And what I found, Heather, is that the core values, even the ones that are on the legitimate quote-unquote list, really come down to three. People value freedom. People value love. This is the big three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people value responsibility. And a lot of people look at me crazy when I say responsibility. And what I mean by responsibility is your response to the world, your gift to the world, your actions in the world, all that creates a personal sense of responsibility, meaning that you think that you need to be here. Most of us on some level are convinced that there's some reason for us to be here, and that's what I call responsibility. So within those three the framework of freedom, love, responsibility, you can do so much for your body. Obviously, responsibility is an easy one for body, but a lot of people don't think of freedom or love as something that they can link very powerfully to their physical goals. But most people, and I use this analogy all the time, when you're obese, or even when you're not happy with your physical self, you are literally trapped within a pile of flesh. That's what most people report feeling like they are trapped in sort of a prison. And so what I use a lot is the core value of freedom, is let's do this in order to be free, because it's contrary to what a lot of people think when they start thinking about a fitness or a nutrition program. They start thinking about being freedom taking away from, you know, oh, it's going to remove my junk food, it's going to remove my Mickey D's, it's going to remove my, it's going to cost me a lot of time. You know, you've heard all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reality, it's going to give you hordes and mounds of time. You should see the research that we've done on that. So people who are more fit actually, they live literally years and years longer, not physically, even though that's true, but literally, meaning that they're getting years and years out of their life that other people are not getting because they're wasting time. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I can cover some specifics on that if you want, but that's the kind of stuff what I mean about freedom. If you want real freedom, have freedom to express yourself physically, freedom to go anywhere you want and feel comfortable in your own skin, that's true freedom. And I think everything else is pretty much an illusion.
So you're saying that during the same time frame, someone who's physically fit will experience more than the person who's obese?
Definitely. One of the studies on that was a study that I participated in. It was a lot of fun. We looked at obese people, which we considered 40 pounds or more over their ideal weight, as compared to people who were generally fit. Now, these weren't, you know, bodybuilders or track athletes. These were just normal, fit human beings. And we took one simple task that everyone does just about every week of their life, in most cases two, and that's go to the grocery store. And all we did for a period of months is we went to the grocery store, parked the same distance each and every time from the grocery store, and we looked at people who parked around us. And we gauged the amount of time it took them to get from the grocery store with their groceries into their car and gone. And just that simple task took an obese person, meaning 40 or more pounds over their ideal weight, three times longer to complete on average than a fit person. So if it took a minute for that person to get to their car, it would take an obese person 3 minutes to get to their car. So you think, okay, well, no big deal. It's two extra minutes, right? Do the math. If you go to the grocery store twice a week, which most people do, that's literally robbing your life of 6 months of time.
Wow.
Now, that's one task that everyone does that you wouldn't think twice about. When you start thinking about the myriad of tasks that we do in our day, from literally how long it takes us to get from point A to point B, whether it's walking to your car or how you feel when you get home, whether you feel like playing with your kids or not, you're talking about robbing years and years and years of true living from your life simply because you're laboring under the illusion that you're happier in a prison of your own formation, which is just not true. And it comes from what I call core illusions. These are things that look like core values that are very similar, but they're completely different. And they can fool anyone. They fooled me. I mean, so it's not like it's some sort of a negative quality that somebody has. It's just something that needs to be adjusted.
What exactly is a core illusion, and can you give us an example of what a core illusion might look like that resembles a core value but isn't?
Sure. One of the best examples is sex versus intimacy. That's something that all of us guys tend to fall for at one point in our life. So, you know, we see this portrayed in the media all the time. We see, you know, the value of sex over the value of intimacy. And they look the same, you know, on the surface. Like, our brains will tell us, especially if we're not attached with, you know, we're not using what I call core levers, which is the things that propel us. They kind of lift up the core value, just like a lever would lift up, you know, say a piece of wood or whatever and become a fulcrum. This is lifting you up and letting you kind of see over the horizon, sort of thing. If we're not doing that, then we can easily mistake desiring sex for desiring intimacy. So core value for most people would actually not be the physical act. It's the responsiveness. It's the communication. It's the intimacy. It's love. And that's what we really, really crave. We want the love with those other things. But when we remove it, most people aren't happy. Now, once again, most people. So that's a very common core illusion, sex for intimacy. There's a lot of other ones that we talk about. I talk about a lot in Empower, for example, that will derail somebody from a plan or a plan of action to go into, let's say, a more physically fit energy. This is all about energy for me, so, by the way. So it's more of an energy-attractive lifestyle. In other words, you're not only releasing your stored energy. You can feel your stored energy. Just reach down and pinch your stomach. That's your body's stored energy. You can release that, okay? Not only do you release that, but you attract other energy in the process because nature abhors a vacuum. So it's kind of cool. You can release that energy in the same breath. You can attract more energy in any form that you want because, as we know, energy it just changes form. So we can use that energy in anything. We can use energy to propel our business, to propel our romance, to propel our life in any direction we want. So anyway, that got a little off the subject of core illusions, but it's still kind of foundational to what I teach.
Would wealth be a core value or a core illusion?
That's a great question. I consider abundance a core value and monetary wealth a core illusion. Not that there's anything wrong with monetary wealth, but I believe in abundance in all areas. So a lot of people as you know, chase after monetary wealth and end up miserable. And you can find examples of people who are dirt poor who are very happy. But no one is miserable who is truly abundant, who has not only that might mean monetary wealth, but it comes along with wealth of the spirit, wealth of the body, wealth of love. These are the things that bring people ultimate happiness. So abundance, total core value, and money, what I would call just money, a core illusion, definitely. And again, there's nothing wrong with obtaining wealth at all. It's a personal goal of mine, but it's all set within the paradigm of abundance versus just money.
Okay, so how do we get to that state of true abundance?
Well, it's a process, and it starts with, again, the mind, understanding where our core values are, being very focused on those values. As you know, what we focus on, we get more of. So the more that you're focused on larger values, the larger your life becomes. And quite frankly, this is a statement that I made once, and I think it was one of the endings, I think it's week 37 of Empower, talking about what would constitute a small life. And a lot of people come to me and they say, I have all these problems, and I have this to overcome, I have that, I have this physical thing. You know, and my thing is this, look, you know, if your only problem in life right now is what pair of shoes to wear tonight out to some social event, then you have a very small, meager life. That's honestly my opinion. So not that you want to attract tons of problems into your life, but you certainly want to have tons of things that you can do and project your energy toward, other than, you know, should I choose this pair of shoes or that pair of shoes, or, you know, what movie should we go see? And this is all that your life is about. So coming back down to how do we do this, first of all, we choose to have a larger life. Choosing to have a larger life does often entail having, quote-unquote, larger problems. I refer to them as challenges, of course, but these are larger challenges. They're going to come your way. They're definitely going to come your way, but that's just that much more opportunity. So you got to choose to have a larger life. And once your life is larger than just the goals on the sheet of paper, whether it be, I want to lose 40 pounds. Well, why? Why do you want to lose 40 pounds? It sounds like a dumb question, but I ask it anyway. Why do you want to lose 40 pounds? Well, because I want to feel better. Why do you want to feel better? And if you keep asking that question, eventually you're going to get down to the real reasons. And the real reasons usually involve one of those three core values. I'm tired of being imprisoned in this body. I want to feel free to go do what I want to do. You know, and that's really where we're coming from. So in a sense, you're asking yourself to become free to do what? To live a larger life. Most people don't want to be free so that they can be bored. So if I can give an example of that.
Sure.
A lot of people who, statistically, who are released from prison, and I think the movie Shawshank Redemption did a great job of showing this, return to prison because they're pretty much bored on the outside. They don't know, they haven't figured out, you know, how the whole thing works on the outside. They've been cooped up, they've gotten attached to their surroundings, but also they're very bored, they're very restless. There's always something to do in a structured environment, and they get out, you know, and unless they have a larger-than-life plan, their chances of going back into prison are pretty darn high. The same thing goes here. If once you escape, quote-unquote, you're a prison of, say, too much body fat or a prison of ill health, unless you have a life that's going to support that, a larger life, you know, if it's just looking good on a beach, how long is that going to last you? Not very long. So you need to have a larger life to support that. And what I call a great way to do that is influence others. Share that with other people. Influence your family. Use your health and your vitality to spend more time with your kids, to pursue the love of your dreams, to pursue the career that you want. And all this builds upon itself. And I talk about, you know, in Empower, the fitness being the foundation. This is kind of what I mean.
Okay, well, you had mentioned that it's important to ask ourselves why when we're looking for our purpose and trying to get to that point. But why do most of us stop asking why early in life?
I joke a lot about this in Empower. Primarily because our parents tell us to. I mean, remember back when you were a kid, you were, you know, 5 years old, you know, mommy, why is the grass green? Because it is. Why is the sky blue? Because it is, you know. And that keeps up for a little while, and eventually it's like, look, it just is. Stop asking why, will you? You know, and eventually our parents tell us to keep, you know, stop asking why, and we're kids, so we kind of listen, and we do. And we stop asking why the grass is green, why the sky is blue, and all that kind of thing. And we also stop asking very important questions, like, why do I want to lose 40 pounds? Why do I want to have more wealth? You know, so it's funny. We pursue things all the time, Heather, on autopilot. complete autopilot. We just know that we're supposed to be wealthier, so we're just going to go out like an automaton. We're going to go in the direction of wealth. And people don't stop to ask why. Why do I want to achieve this? And some of the surface answers apply. Sure, I have a lot of bills. I want to travel more. Well, why do you care about bills, and why do you want to travel more? And if you keep asking that question, why, over and over again, eventually you're going to come down to the core reasons why you really desire what you desire. And you may find that what you're going after isn't what you want at all. And that's what you see a whole lot in people who, once again, you know, the Elvis Presleys of the world, that people would think, okay, the king of rock and roll, I had all the money in the world, and died very miserable, died obese of a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And not exactly the way I want to go, you know. Certainly not someone I would emulate. So I think that these people are just not asking why. They're not asking why they really want this, and then asking what they can do with it when they have it.
To experience John Benson's Total Transformational Empower series, go to successunwrapped.com/empower.html. That's M as in Mary, power.html. And I hope you've enjoyed the first segment of our interview, but it's not over. There's a full 200% more than what you just heard, where we delve deeper into these success principles. To unwrap the full interview and get lots more tools for success, just sign up to become a Success Unwrapped member on any level you choose at successunwrapped.com/members.
This has been Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Be sure to tune in to the next edition of Success Unwrapped, helping you to unwrap and discover your own potential for success. Until next time, keep unwrapping. I'm Heather Vail. This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That's spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y.com.